Scripture reading today is Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. Jesus has risen. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Lord, bless the reading of today's word.
Friends, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning is the story of the first Easter morning. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, go early in the morning to Jesus's tomb. They go to prepare his body for burial in accordance with Jewish customs. At the tomb, an angel of the Lord comes down from heaven and rolls back the stone. Jesus isn't there. The angel tells the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him.'" If we back up a minute in the story, you'll remember that Mary Magdalene and Mary were present for Jesus's crucifixion. They watched the nails pierce his hands and his side. They watched him breathe his last. They know that he died. That's not the part that scares them. What scares them is that the tomb is empty. Because if the tomb is empty, it means that Jesus is God. Because only God has the power to rise from the dead. The angel of the Lord tells the women to go quickly and to tell Jesus's disciples that Jesus has risen from the dead and that he will see them in Galilee. The women, afraid yet filled with joy, hurry from the tomb to go and tell the disciples. The disciples, hearing the news, rush and go meet Jesus. They bow down and they worship him. Jesus tells them to go and to gather others and to meet him in Galilee so that they can be commissioned to share this good news with all of the nations. What struck me as I read through this familiar text is how God continues to call ordinary people to bear the good news of Easter. Remember how Jesus' story started? It started with another angel telling Mary that she was going to bear a son and that he was to be called Jesus, Emmanuel. Remember that Mary was just an ordinary woman. When it came time to announce Jesus's resurrection from the dead, the angel of the Lord does not appear to Jesus's disciples, men respected in the community. No, the angel comes to women tasked with the ordinary work of preparing a body for burial. These ordinary women become the first preachers of the gospel, the first ones to share the good news of Jesus with others. Christ is risen. Christ defeated death. Come and see that our God is alive. I was also struck this morning with the fact that the good news of Easter, Christ has risen from the dead, this good news remains unchanged across all of human history. But how we share that good news changes depending on what part of human history we're living in. In the ancient Near East, the angel of the Lord appears to women coming to prepare a body for burial, because that was the most efficient way to get the news out into the community. But if we tried to get the message across this way today, it would not be as efficient, because we live in a different moment in human history. There's no denying that we're living in a strange moment in human history. To help slow the spread of COVID-19, Pennsylvanians are ordered to stay at home as much as possible. This morning, our churches are celebrating Easter virtually instead of in our sanctuaries. Both of our churches have had to learn new ways to share the good news of Easter with one another, as our usual ways of celebrating are just not available to us right now. One of the ways that I'm navigating this strange moment in human history is by reading a biography of my favorite theologian, Mr. Rogers. This book is called The Good Neighbor, The Life and Work of Fred Rogers, and it was written by Maxwell King. One of the things that I'm learning as I read this book is that Mr. Rogers lived during a transitional period in Pittsburgh's history. When he was born in La Trobe in 1928, Pittsburgh was at its peak as an industrial steel town. His father was a successful businessman, and Fred enjoyed an affluent, albeit lonely, childhood. Fred's family belonged to First Presbyterian Church in La Trobe, and his family was known for generously supporting the various ministries of the church. In fact, the Presbyterian values, hard work, responsibility, and caring for others, parsimony, duty to family, ethical clarity, a strong sense of mission, and a relentless sense of service to God drove every moment of Fred's life. It didn't surprise anyone when Fred decided to become a Presbyterian minister. He wanted to honor his family's dedication to faith and service by answering God's call to pastoral ministry. But when he was ordained in 1963, Pittsburgh was a very different city than it was in 1928. Manufacturing was on the decline. Fewer and fewer families were able to survive without two incomes. So children were finding themselves with more and more time at home alone. Plus, there was this new technology, television. While many Christians at that time refused to embrace this new technology, Fred saw it as an opportunity to teach children how to be kind, compassionate, thoughtful members of our world. So instead of becoming a traditional pastor, Fred became a televangelist for toddlers. He often referred to the space between the child and the television as holy ground. I've been thinking a lot about Mr. Rogers during this strange moment in our history. How can we, like Mr. Rogers, look at the world around us, acknowledge that it's changing, and use this as an opportunity to share the good news in a new way? One way that our world is changing is that we're all realizing that the church is not the building. It is the people, and it is the relationships among the people. I see this in both churches' willingness to learn new technology. Technology that is allowing us to see each other's faces and hear each other's voices when we can't be in the same room with one another. I see this in the sacrifices you all are making in continuing to send your donations into the church so that we can continue to pay our staff. I see this in your faithfulness in checking in with folks, folks that you know are maybe alone or sick or scared. These small acts of kindness are powerful witnesses to the good news of Easter during this strange moment in our history. Friends, my hope for you this day is that you will continue to find creative ways to celebrate the good news of Easter. Whether you're FaceTiming family, whether you're hiding Easter eggs in your living room, or whether you're maybe learning to cook Easter dinner for the first time while you watch YouTube videos, I invite you to embrace the creativity the season of life requires, knowing that we, like the first disciples, were created to do tough things, that God is going to continue to call us to do tough things, and that because of Jesus, we can do those tough things. Friends, happy Easter. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.